This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Happy Thursday, everybody. Commanders and Steelers just a few days away, and it suddenly is again the marquee matchup in the NFL. Commanders have played in a couple of these now, like three or four weeks, really. Baltimore, Chicago, now Pittsburgh. These have been the marquee matchups across the league, and we got another good one on our hands this weekend, Anthony. But that's not the only thing on the show's docket today. We got an Olympic gold medalist in 25 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Trinity Rodman, Washington Spirit forward, is going to join us ahead of their matchup this weekend against Bay FC. The NWSL playoffs getting started, so Trin at 4:30. But other than that, we have our eyes on Ashburn and then ultimately on Landover. And Oh, no. Marshawn Lattimore missed practice again today.
It's not exciting news, man.
No, but it is what should have probably happened. Yeah. Hamstring injuries are particularly finicky. And if you did not know, Marshawn Lattimore has a hamstring injury. And I thought that it was not going to be as big of a deal, but I was wrong. Catherine Terrell did a good job of laying it out for us a bit yesterday, and some other folks have laid out some information, and then all of a sudden today it's like, oh nope, he's not practicing again. So it does look like Marshawn is unlikely to play. I just can't imagine, even if he gets on the field in a limited capacity tomorrow, I just can't imagine that they're going to put him out there with zero meaningful practice, because like Friday can be super specific with some stuff, but typically Friday practices are a lot shorter and the bulk of the work has already been done. You're kind of ramping down the week to make sure that you're fresh for Sunday. So I just can't imagine that they go through a Wednesday and a Thursday practice and all of the first and second down work, all of the third down work, and whether it's Friday's red zone or whatever other situational stuff they do, that you're just going to put them out there for that stuff and then say, all right, go play on Sunday. That feels short-sighted and risky, because hamstrings are kind of, if they're not 100%, they're pretty prone to re-injury. And so I kind of think that Marshawn Lattimore is probably not going to play on Sunday. And so that then gets us back to the status quo of, well, okay, what does that mean for now? It means no Igbinoghene in the slot. It means St. Juice outside on George Pickens a lot. It means St. Ursil, obviously, on the other snaps where he's outside. It means both those guys have to deal with Mike Williams in his first game as a Pittsburgh Steeler. And then I think the big question is, can you get Lattimore healthy for Thursday? Because remember, as much as so many of us have finally stopped looking ahead, because this Pittsburgh game has been looming all month through like the Carolina game and some of these other their outings. The Eagles game's on Thursday. It is a quick turnaround. And so bad time to get a guy who you're trying to get on the field to lose those extra 3 days for the hamstring. So we'll see is kind of the short version of it. The long version of it is, we're going to see when he gets on the field. That's about as much as we got right now. It's a hamstring. Not great. Joe Witt Jr. Was at the podium today and was asked a couple of questions, obviously, about Marshawn Lattimore and kind of the long term of it all. And first, like, what does Lattimore's impact have on the rest of the defense, starting with the pass rush?
Well, you know, let's not neglect what the guys that here have done. Okay, all right. I think, you know, the only thing that we haven't done is intercept the ball. Okay, I think we're fifth in pass defense. Those guys that have been covering. Okay, and the sacks that we've had, yes, they've, you know, we've won some up time, but some of them are coverage sacks. So let's not act like Juice and Mikey and Noah and Chen and those guys haven't been playing solid ball. All right, they have. So one guy's not going to come and just change all that. He's added to what we're doing. He's not going to make us be what we're going to be. He's added to the group, and we're excited to have him. But I'm not going to sit here and discard the guys that we have that I'm happy that we have. All right, so let's not do that.
I think that's a great answer from Joe Witt. One, I think it buys you a lot of validation in the locker room, and that matters a lot more than making whatever fan is yelling, Benjamin St. Juice sucks, in our YouTube comments. And there's a lot of you, if we're being honest. So one, that's important. Two, I think it's true. Like, I appreciate Joe because I think he's truthful. I think he gets it. There's certain things he's going to say maybe a little bit more with his chest or a little more revealing than others. He's a smart guy. But at the same time, like, this is a defense that has continually grown and gotten better and better and better as the year has gone on. And that is something that is a credit to them. You know, we talked earlier in the year about how what guys were coming into the year is not going to be what they are coming out of it. And guys like St. Juice are definitely an example of that. While he still has more room to grow, he's better now than he was in week one. You have guys like Sanders still, obviously, have grown tremendously, especially considering how much time he spent inside in camp, and now he's playing outside. You know, Noah's been a good player. This is a former first-round pick who got let go by the team that took him in Miami. And, you know, in over a couple of years of working with the Dan Quinn system last year in Dallas and now with Joe and Dan here in D.C., like, he's become a solid nickel player. Like, he's not amazing, but he's a good football player. Quan has played his best football this year. Chin, you know, think about what he was week one, week two, where, yeah, he's put in some tough spots, but he also definitely missed some stuff. And now, like, that dude is playing lights out. Best game was his last one. So if you can continue to grow that, like, that's obviously really good. I think we've seen the pass rush continually get better. You know, Bobby and Frankie have kind of been consistent all year long. That's kind of who they are. But overall, this is a defense that has continued to grow and meld. That said, there's a reason they added Marshawn Lattimore. So what's the trickle-down effect of bringing in someone who is as good as Marshawn Lattimore?
How it affects other players. Like I tell you each week, we're going to play the guys that we give that gives us the best chance to win. So I'm not worried about a trickle down effect there. We put people in position each week. Let's say Marshawn's not here, it would be the same way. So from that standpoint, the style that we want to play an aggressive style of ball, and that's what he is. And I just like the mentality that he plays with, what he brings to the room from a mindset of, I'm going to get after you. I'm going to get up and challenge you. If you beat me, all right, you're going to have to beat me again. He's never going to, you know, back off. That's what I really like, and I think that's what will add to that room, where we do have some young players that haven't necessarily been in some of those tar battles. He's battle-tested against really good players.
He is. He's played in playoff games. He just brings an institutional knowledge of the league to that room that was missing, even if Joe can say all he wants that he likes the guys there, and he does. But he said it at the end. This is a different caliber of guy. This is a guy with different experiences than everyone else in that room. And that is invaluable as they move towards a place that they all want to get to and that he, as in Marshawn Lattimore, has been. Of course, the Commanders weren't the only team in this Steelers-Commanders matchup that made some moves this week. So that, oh, that's right, the Steelers. There's only one other team. Got that. Cool. Got it. So they're also coming off a bye week, which is a pretty big advantage. They can make some tweaks. They can do some stuff. They obviously had a chance to think about these moves before they made them and probably had a plan to implement some guys without having to worry about a game. So what's the week of planning like for Joe Witt?
Well, you know, and them coming off a bye, so they're going to be some unscouted looks because, you know, they did some self-scout stuff. And you always, when you come off a bye, you have some new wrinkles. He gives them somebody opposite 14, you know, that can go vertically up the field. And so now, boom, it's shots on both sides for Russell. And what does Russell do best? He throws the deep ball really, really well. He's done that for a long time. Just throw the ball outside the numbers, and now they can put guys, they can go 12 personnel and put guys outside, block it up, and give them shot opportunities on both sides where there's 50-50 balls. And that is a problem.
It is, because that is kind of their offense. As we talked through it this morning on Take Command, Logan kind of gave his scouting report. That's out now, by the way, if you would like to check it out after this show, because you're going to keep listening to us right now. But his Logan talked about, he's like, look, man, their pass offense is a lot of these 50-50 balls. Their rush offense, they'll run it. They're not actually the most efficient running team. Najee Harris is playing really good football the last 3 weeks. He's had the best stretch of his career from a production standpoint. So some things are starting to come together. We'll talk about that more with Andrew Filippone at 5 o'clock from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. But this is a Pittsburgh pass offense that is not dink dunk, run after catch. We're going to zing you here and then hit a deep dig and we got comeback. No, it is, hey, Russ, check it out there, baby. And if you can intercept a couple of those balls, like, that is a game changer. But Pickens is fantastic, and Mike Williams is fantastic. And, you know, St. Juice has gotten mossed a couple times, obviously, in his career in this season. He's been better this season overall, but we'll see. But that is something where you got to be able to get pressure, and you can kind of deny one of those if you can send safety help over the top. It makes it a lot easier. Russ can't just put a bunch of air under it and throw it out there because the safety is going to come over and pick it off. Well, if you have it on both sides of the field, that becomes a little harder to do in terms of dedicating one side or the other, because you're always basically guaranteeing either a light box because there's two high safeties to cover, or a one-on-one matchup on one side of the field that Russ can then pick which one based off of where the safety is shaded. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, you'll hear from the other coordinator. Cliff Kingsbury also spoke today about whether or not TJ Watt is keeping him up at night and the other challenges presented by this top-ranked Steelers defense. That's next on the Team 980.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 4:30, so just over 12 minutes from now, Olympic gold medalist Trinity Rodman, of course, also forward for the Washington Spirit here in D.C. as they get ready to take on Bay FC in the NWSL playoffs that start this weekend. That is a 12:30 kickoff Sunday at Audi Field. Half hour later in Landover, the Commanders will kick off against the Steelers. And the Steelers pass rush is, what's the word I'm looking for, Anthony? If you could help me out here. I think it's four letters long. It starts with a G.
G-double-O-D?
Yeah, what's that? How do you pronounce that?
Good?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good. And it's good because of another four-letter word.
What?
Yeah. It's not just him, though. Highsmith's got more than four letters, but he's real good. Their third guy is pretty good. Cam Hayward inside's pretty good. Still, like, one of the best interior guys in the league, even though he is obviously getting up there in age and in NFL years. But it is a really, really stout pass rush. It's got some good blitzers, too. Like, Patrick Queen is an interesting player at linebacker. He's got his strengths. He's got his weaknesses. But getting downhill is certainly one of the strengths. And they're pretty good on the back end, too. It is a defense that's got a little bit of everything. The Joey Porter Jr. versus Terry McLaurin matchup is going to be a real matchup. Like, expect Porter Jr. probably to travel. But everything starts with Watt. And that is where we start hearing from Cliff Kingsbury, who was asked about the multiple-time defensive player of the year, T.J. Watt, earlier today.
Yeah, when I'm watching tape, when I'm sleeping, all of the above. He's a game record. He's, like, on that level of certain guys around the league, the Aaron Donalds, you know, I know he's retired, but where it's like, okay, going into that week, we've got to know where he's at on every play. And if we leave one play where he's not accounted for and given extra attention, then that's the play that can change the game. He's that dominant of a player, and he plays with that type of effort. So, yeah, definitely one that keeps you.
Yeah, I would not sleep very, very well if I had to plan for T.J. Watt. The good news, if you will, is that a lot of the teams that have been able to keep Watt at bay have done it in ways that the Commanders protect their quarterback. The Jets, for instance, kept Watt, like, in I should put it this way, in the times where he was less effective, they're chipping the heck out of him. And he can still, like, he's got a great motor. He will still fight through a chip. And if he thinks the down is getting extended and he can still make a play, he'll do it. But the Jets did a good job with that. The problem is for the Jets is, like, the route distribution and some of the things that you need then to happen. If you take a tight end or a back out of the route concept early to buy yourself some extra time, they're not as complicated and nor as crisp as the way that Washington has done it all year. So I think that's something where Washington can take advantage and say, hey, we're going to chip. We're going to knock Watt off his rush. We're going to make sure that Wiley's got the help that he needs. And sometimes I think they'll double. Like, I think sometimes it's going to be Watt and John Bates just straight up double teaming. And they'll run route concepts with four guys and they'll sacrifice the eligible to make sure that their quarterback doesn't get crushed. There's other ways that they'll do this to kind of limit the efficacy of T.J. Watt, but on the back end, they always have a plan to get guys open, and they do a better job of it, arguably, than anybody else in football in 2024. So that's nice. The problem is sometimes that's, say, hey, we're just going to get Terry in man coverage and trust him to win. Well, that's harder against a guy like Joey Porter Jr., who's excellent in man coverage. There's a lot of layers to this, but as Cliff Kingsbury looks at the Steelers' defense, how does he look at it from the highest level view?
They're really good. Terrell Austin's done a tremendous job. Obviously, Mike T, the culture he has there. They're very physical, great personnel, play downhill, take the ball away. So it'll be a huge test. I think making sure we avoid negative plays and turnovers is going to be the key to keeping it, a ball game and being able to stay.
So I'm glad Cliff mentioned the turnovers there, because as you have probably seen by now, all the, they've been pumping it out on Instagram and such, and I'm sure the other shows have mentioned it, any podcast, whatever that you listen to, radio show, that the Commanders have turned the football over through nine games just three times. That is the best total since 1933. That's absurd. That, like, most, a lot of us, if our grandparents are still alive, they weren't born, or they were barely born, the last time a team in the NFL turned the football over three times or less in the first nine games of a season. Like, this is ridiculous. And for Washington, that is extra essential, because if they can get up in games, their defense is much more built to play from ahead pass rush, sit in zone coverage, not allow any big plays than they are from behind. Teams get really aggressive with the run. They pop explosives here and there, and you're dedicating resources. You're susceptible to play action passes, all that kind of stuff. And Pittsburgh is actually kind of built in a similar way, that if you can just run the football at them, like, it's going to be hard, but there are some holes. The Jets found some. The Giants found some the last couple of weeks, and maybe they get those cleaned up against the or with the bye week, because they are one of the best rush teams in the league. EPA per play, they're second best in the league. So I'm not telling you there's a ton of opportunity there. But offensively, the Steelers are definitely not built to have to sit back and pass the ball all over the place. Like, Russ has always only seen the field so well. He's always been a big deep ball thrower that if you can, you know, get him set up off a play action, he'll chuck it 50 yards with a ton of air underneath it and let guys make plays. That's great. That stuff, the play action fakes become a lot less effective when you're down by 14 points midway through the third quarter. Linebackers just aren't biting on it. So there's less space. It's harder to see. Pass rush can get a little bit more creative. So there's just a lot of stuff that favors Washington getting up big in this game as early as possible, on top of the fact that you're then up big in a football game and you'd rather be winning than losing. One more from Kingsbury on the Jaden Daniels of it all, because I think this is a big game for Jaden in terms of the MVP race potentially. And I know that's the last thing from his mind, and it should be. This is a sports talk radio host talking about sports talk radio things that many of you are interested in, even if you are currently trying to suppress those because you just want to focus on one game at a time. But realistically, he has been probably the second or third, at worst, fourth best quarterback in the league this year. Lamar has been the best quarterback in the league. He's playing outstanding football. Burrow has been phenomenal this year. He's got 2 5 touchdown games. And despite the fact that the Bengals are not very good record-wise, like, he has played special football. Josh Allen has also played really special football. But if you want to make the argument that Daniels has been better than either Burrow from a consistency standpoint or Allen overall, I'm not going to push back on you very hard. It's Lamar and then those three guys with Jaden leading the pack there. If he goes out and has a big day against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, a very good Pittsburgh Steelers defense, that probably vaults him to the top of that conversation. So in order to do that, he's got to continue to remain patient, remain disciplined, not turn the football over, make good decisions about when to run, when to throw, when to check it down, get the ball out of his hands quickly, all the stuff that he has been doing. It's just harder because it's against the Steelers. Here's Cliff on how he continues to just do what he's been doing.
Yeah, just the work he puts in. I think you earn that right with how you work and keeping your process the same and not being bored of doing it over and over and over. And that's something that, from what I've seen, he's willing to pay the price every morning early through the evening of same routine, getting better, asking the right questions, putting the work in on the practice field. And when you have those things, the confidence is there. And so you don't need to change anything.
Keep on doing what you're doing. That's how you keep on doing what you're doing. When you say it like that, it's really simple. Of course, the test is a lot harder on Sunday against Pittsburgh. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, a chat with Olympic gold medalist and someone who's going to be right near the top of her own MVP race, Trinity Rodman, joins us next on the Team 980. Joining us now, she doesn't really need an introduction. I could just say it's Trinity Rodman, and everyone knows Trin, but we'll give her the proper one. Top 10 finisher in the Ballon d'Or, 2024 Olympic gold medalist, queen TikToker, engine that powers the number 2 seeded Washington Spirit into the NWSL playoffs. Trin, appreciate your time as always. Good to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks for the great intro.
Doing my best over here, just trying to hype everybody up. Resiliency is a good trait. Your team has had to have more than its fair share of it this year. As you reflect on the regular season and now look ahead, and you're the number 2 seed going into the playoffs, what kind of sticks out about how this team has been able to adapt and get to this point this season?
Yeah, I think it's embracing all the adversity. It's really easy to feel as though everything's been a setback, especially the injuries that we've experienced on the team. It's been obviously devastating for those and for us, but what has been so great about our team is that we're using that as opportunities for different players to step up and for us to kind of be together. It's hard to stay connected to people that are going through an injury and going through rehab and everything. So we've been really good at staying connected as a team, but also backing each other up and giving each other the confidence to step up in ways that we need to. And you've seen that within our rookies and other players on the team, which I think has been great.
For you, I mean, you're still so young, but you've now been around for a couple of years, and obviously with your status as a player in the league, like, people are going to look to you. Have you felt, as especially when Andy goes down, you know, I've been around the team enough to know how much of the heart and soul she is, have you felt your leadership position kind of fluctuate throughout the year, up, down, and now I'm sure with where you are now, up again?
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting, but for me, I've been
that's one word.
I try to be more so a leader, for just example in the way that I play, but also just the leader that's gonna bring the fun and to bring the joy and everything. I think that's really important, to celebrate little wins. I pride myself on that, so I wouldn't even say it's changed that much, because I feel like I've been kind of similar through this. I've always kind of had a big voice to an extent, and led by example for the most part. And yeah, it's been different, and I just want to do Andy proud the best way that I can. So yeah, I'm trying, but again, no one will ever replace Andy, so that is hers forever. And I strive to be the person that she is on this team, because she's the glue essentially, and that's obviously the biggest compliment you can get. So
yeah, I had Brittany Ratcliffe crying on here a couple weeks ago after Andy got hurt. We're gonna keep moving past Andy, just that way none of us start crying over the what happened with her. But I'm curious, because to hear you very specifically use the phrase like celebrating little wins, finding joy, that is so reminiscent of the language that Emma uses with the national team. And I'm curious, that has always been part of who you are. But that experience of playing for Emma this summer, was there like a deeper understanding or appreciation of maybe some of the things that you've always brought, but now as you just get older as a human and as a player and are around someone like Emma, is there kind of a deeper understanding of the power of all that?
Yeah, for sure. I think I look back at the Olympics as we were just having fun. We were playing soccer, and I think that is the coolest thing. And that is kind of the way that I play soccer is, you can tell I'm always having fun. As competitive as I am and as hard as I work, you can always tell that I'm enjoying myself, which I hope I always have. But Emma also has that. It was a similar vibe. And to look back at something that was so hard in every way and to look back and say, oh my gosh, I had the best time ever, that was so much fun, is, yeah, speaks to who she is as a coach and kind of like where the direction is going.
For you on the state side, obviously you have Jonah come in this year. What are some things that you've learned? It's been really fun to ask this question to all of your teammates, because I feel like there's all these like little subtle things that people have picked up from him. What's your kind of go-to of like, oh, this is how Jonah has helped me this season?
Attention to detail. He's very day-to-day. This training session is our job. This, we're going to perform at our highest level for this training session. Not thinking about tomorrow, not thinking about the game. Like, even today, we're not thinking about the quarterfinal. We're thinking about the training that happened today and how we can bring our best self. And I think that's been the biggest takeaway and the most important for our team, is we're not psyching ourselves out about big games. We're not overthinking our role. It's just, we're bringing our best self today. We're working, we're doing our job. We're finding ways to solve things, and we're messing up. Honestly, I think that's been a learning experience, is we've had, in quotations, bad training sessions, but they've been the best training sessions in a way. So I think that's celebrating a little win of like, that wasn't great, but we know that we learned so much and that we know what to improve on.
That's actually a really cool insight. So when you look at all the different players that you've played with this year, you've had Ule next to you for quite a bit. You have Ashley Hatch coming in. You have, you know, McKenna on the opposite wing. What's it been like to kind of play with all these different types of players within that forward group and be, you know, obviously for whenever you're on the field, like you're constant for yourself, but be one of the constant forces within that group that has been productive basically no matter who's out there?
Yeah, I think it's been amazing this year to have such a great and consistent attacking force. I mean, obviously, all around our team's amazing, but on the attacking side, it's not even just the forwards. Like, it's a midfield. It's Tara getting opportunities in the box of shooting. And I think for me, I was just talking about this in a different interview of, I feel like what I've learned about myself and what this team has taught me is it's so okay to celebrate other people. And I think, yeah, obviously I want to perform. I want to do well. I want to be the person that's scoring. But to see the growth that McKenna's had in a short amount of time, to see what Croy did this year, to see Courtney, Heather, like so many of these players step up in so many good ways and take it. Like, that's great. And I love where Spirit is going, because you're looking at every single player on this team like, who's going to score this game? Who's going to do something crazy? And I think that's amazing, and that's a achievement in itself, which I'm so happy to talk about.
It's been really fun as a fan to be at the games and as an observer of the game to watch it. And it is kind of funny to me, Trin, watching Hatchie reemerge in the back half of this season. It's like, oh yeah, she's Ashley Hatch, top 10 all-time goal scorer in the history of the league. What was it like to see her come back and just pick up where she left off, which is anytime she's on the field, she's scoring goals?
Yeah, I think there's absolutely no surprise there at all. Obviously, the coach is deciding what he wants to do. He was deciding to play Ule, and now that Ule is injured, she's getting minutes back and she's getting those opportunities. I mean, yeah, it's like, it's almost like shocking for other people, but I'm like, what are we shocked about? Like, and I'm not saying that in a bad way at all, but she's such a talented, great, smart leader on this team. And it's, I watch her in training and I'm just like, oh my gosh, she is so good. And it's been amazing to watch the way that she's handled it, because it's not an ideal situation for her. And as for any player, like, they want to play, they want to start, they want to get all these minutes. So to see the way that she's handled the situation and to see her performances incline still is admirable. I can't speak enough on her. She's great.
And one other player specifically I want to ask you about before I ask you about the game this weekend. You mentioned as well a little bit earlier in Tara. I mean, she comes in the league as a forward. Everyone knows the story by now. When was it in training over the last couple of years that you're like, hey, Tara, you're really, really, really good at this center back thing?
Anytime I go against her, I'm just like, when we are on the same team for things in training, I'm like, thank God. I'm like, yes. she's unstoppable. She's so great, and she's embraced her role, that's for sure. And she's Iron Woman for a reason. She's not even just Iron Woman, she's been so consistent, and she's saved our butts so many times as well, which I'm so grateful for. But she's a beast. She's fast, she's smart, she's, her distribution of passes, her timing on running with these fast forwards, like, everything is just so great. And obviously she has the attacking piece as well. Like, she's not afraid to be in the box to finish or to get in for set pieces. I think her growth has been insane, but she's also just a huge leader on our team as well, and in a different way.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch her grow the last couple of years. All right, last but not least, this weekend, I mean, hopefully we sell out, blackout, Audi Field. The energy is going to be amazing. It's going to be a great time. Return to the playoffs for y'all. You know, you've been through all different, even though you're still a young player, like, you've been through multiple playoff experiences. I'm sure you're hungry for it. But when you look at Bay specifically, what challenges really stand out in terms of what they present as you guys prepare for this game?
Absolutely. I think they're a dangerous team, and I think they can get into the attack really quickly. If they win the ball, they're looking forward, and I think that's similar to what we like to do. We like to possess, but at the same time, if we're winning it in the attacking half, we're sticking to score, and I think they're definitely like that. They're extremely good at finding their midfield and then finding a way to get in behind really quickly, and again, that's going to be a test for Tara. but yeah, I'm excited for this matchup. I think it's going to be a challenge for us, even though we have beat them before. I think that makes it even more challenging, so I'm excited. Nervous, but I don't know. I'm very happy and open-minded about this experience, and I'm happy for the rookies that now get to experience it for the first time, and know what it feels like because it's an unreal experience.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, your rookie experience in the playoffs went pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty great. It was pretty easy sailing.
Yeah. You just win a chip. Hey, this is how it works when you're a rookie. You go on, you win all the games, and then they give you a trophy at the end. That's how it goes for everyone, of course. Trinity Rodman and the Spirit taking on Bay FC 12:30 on Sunday. Trin, always a pleasure to chat. Congrats on all your success so far this season and continued success throughout the rest of this playoff run.
Yeah, thank you.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And Anthony, I want to posit a question to you that I popped on Take Command this morning to Logan, and we kind of touched on a little bit earlier, but like, what does a good game for Jaden Daniels on Sunday mean in bum, 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 the MVP conversation? And I will admit, on the front end, there's part of me that hates myself for even saying this, but like, we talk about MVP stuff all the time. We should not talk about it because our guy's in it. In fact, we should talk about it more because the guy that we cover and talk about every day is in it. And as much as we do want to live game to game and not get ahead of ourselves, it just kind of hit me as we were talking this morning. Like, this wasn't a planned part of the conversation, which Logan loves, by the way. Logan loves when I'm just like, hoop, off script, here we go, into la-la land. But I was like, hey, man, like, realistically, this is a chance... Game of the week, not officially in terms of like the Thursday or sorry, the 4 o'clock window. It's not Sunday night football. It's not Monday night football. But I think this is by most accounts the game of the week. I'm listening to a couple of national shows. They're like, oh yeah, let's talk about Pittsburgh, Washington. Best game on the schedule this week. A lot of eyes, great defense, big challenge. If he goes out and plays well, anybody that's reserving him in the MVP conversation because he's a rookie has nothing else to stand on. Like, it just is so matter of fact. Not that I'd put him at the top necessarily, unless like Lamar bombs tonight and then Jaden throws for 400 yards and rushes for 100. Like, if he has the Florida game against the Steelers, sure. But he's definitely in the top five right now already based off of what we've seen through 9 weeks. And I think it's just worth like, kind of saying like, whoa, if he has a big game on Sunday, where does that put him?
Yeah, I think for rookie of the year, a lot of people are going to say, oh, he's having one of the best rookie seasons ever.
They should be. He is.
I think if you just look at the season as a whole, he's having one of the better seasons among all quarterbacks. So I don't think we should just be excluding him because he's a rookie. Kind of thing. And Craig, I'm not going to lie, to answer your question, I looked ahead at our schedule and I'm not going to say like we have a cakewalk to, you know, a couple of wins because we still have to go out there and win these games, but it is a very favorable schedule that we have. Granted, we have two matchups with Dallas. They're without Dak, maybe even CD. And then you also have the Falcons. There are a couple of other teams, the Saints, who we should watch, the Falcons, that may be a good game. But I think there's a chance we can go out there and get 12, 13 wins, depending on how the games go against the Eagles as well. But just that alone, say we go 12-5, 13-4, where we were predicted to go coming into the season, I think that is enough to like warrant a top three, top four consideration when we're talking about the MVP race. Yes, you have Lamar. Yes, you have Jared Goff. But we were projected to not even win 5-6 games by Vegas, and we have a chance to double it if we go out there and do that. So I think when you talk about the MVP, somebody changing the trajectory of a franchise, of a team, considering where we were predicted to go, I think it's fair to have this guy in there. You have to.
Of course. I mean, has there been any other offseason transaction that is more valuable than Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders? I think Ravens fans would be like, hey, Derrick Henry's been really good. And he has. Mm-hmm. He's, as far, my quick thoughts, like players who change teams that matter most, Derrick Henry has unlocked an even higher level of that Ravens offense. What he's doing is insane. He's on pace for like a 2,000-yard season. Lamar has been even better, one, because he just keeps improving, and two, because of what Derrick Henry provides and the opportunities, and Lamar is taking advantage of them. So Derrick Henry has been, you know, just absurdly impactful in Baltimore. But this is a team that won four games last year. And I realize it's a very different team. They changed over more players than anybody else in the league, but it's not like they signed a bunch of guys that thought everybody or made everyone think they were going to be a top five team in the league, which I think you could argue that they are, the two seed in the NFC right now. There's obviously a bunch of teams in the AFC that are really good, but you have to, like, he's what, if this isn't what value looks like, then what the hell is? And just on the rookie side of it, last year I pulled up the number or the comparisons, Jaden to Stroud. Here's where we are so far. I guess I got to get per game, huh? But we got so far, Jaden is completing 71.5% of his passes for 1,945 yards. So that's, we'll do this math real quick. This is math we can do. 1945 divided by 9. I know he only played barely in the one game, but this is how it works. He's averaging 216 yards a game. Stroud went 4108 in 15 games, which is 273. So Stroud per game better. Jaden obviously a little bit dragged down by the Carolina game where he played one series. But them's the breaks. That's how it works. Jaden has only thrown two picks. Stroud only threw five. The TD percentage, Stroud's a little bit higher. Interception percentage, Jaden a little bit lower. Jaden's rating is higher. He's on pace to take fewer sacks, although it's not a huge difference. The sack percentage is a little bit lower. Jaden, both a higher yards per attempt and air yards per attempt. Also, let's see. What is that? That is the adjusted net yards per pass attempt. Jaden is higher. He's obviously got a higher completion percentage, so Stroud's got a little bit higher yards per completion. That doesn't account for the rushing stats, where Jaden already has more than doubled, nearly quadrupled CJ Stroud's output. I guess probably close to tripled. He's 459 already and four touchdowns. Picked up 29 first downs. Dang. These are raw stats.
Yeah.
Stroud last year, period, 167 yards, three touchdowns, 17 first downs in 15 games. Jaden in nine has 459 yards, four TDs, 29 first downs picked up on the ground. I think that's pretty good.
It's a bad man.
I think that is really good. Just some other like fun ones. Bad throws, poor throws, the way they do it based off accuracy, the on-target, whatever. Daniels, more accurate. He's thrown 32 so far this year. Stroud had 95. And again, like we're a little bit more than halfway through, so double the number, and you're still like two-thirds. Bad throw percentage. There you go. It's 19.9% for Stroud. So one of every five throws, only 14.5% for Daniels. His on target percentage, obviously higher as well. All the rushing stuff, yards per scramble. Yeah, he's on pace to have a better rookie year than Stroud, which how many times did I tell callers in this offseason, like, hey, do not count on Jaden Daniels coming in and being CJ Stroud or better, because Stroud had arguably the best rookie season any quarterback has ever had. It's like him, Andrew Luck. Obviously, RG3 was really good that year as well. He actually won the rookie of the year. Passing-wise, Luck was, I think, over 4,000. Cam had over 4,000 his rookie year. But like, it is a very, very, very small list. And Daniels is about to be better than all of them.
Were any of them in the MVP contest?
Not that I can remember. I mean, RG obviously got Washington in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Indy, I'd have to look. We're up against the clock. I'd have to look. Luck, because Indy was typically pretty good as long as Luck was healthy.
Yep.
So maybe Luck was, but certainly none of them have won it.
No.
And a rookie quarterback's never made the Super Bowl. But hey, let's break some records. Why? There's got to be a first always.
Somebody's got to do it.
I wouldn't mind. Just saying, again, do I think, is that going to be my prediction? No. Would it be fun? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Andrew Filippone covers the Steelers for 93.7 The Fan. He also has an eye on the NFL nationally as he does First in Pod with Patrick Peterson. We talked to Pat P yesterday, but we got Andrew on with us today. Definitely always great to chat with him, and excited to welcome here to the Hoffman Show next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.